Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Wyatt's Way. Today is Saturday, April the 16th. And as always, in beginning the show, I'd like to give thanks to the Creator, my family and friends and supporters at Dr. Wyatt's University Herb Stores and the Delaware Valley Naturopathic Medical Association. The newcomers, I'd like to welcome you who are tuning in for the very first time and our faithful listeners who tune in week after week after week after week. I'd like to have everybody who's listening brace yourself for this show. I also like to give a shout out to my vice president who's not here with me today, Keisha Carter, who's taking care of business in other areas. But I also want to invite my co-host who's here today, and I'll let you know who she is in a minute, but I just want to set the stage for what's happening today. Today, so we're expecting a caller to call in, and this caller is a very special person with a very special message. And this show is only at half an hour, and I would venture to say that this is probably one of our most important shows that we've done in our almost five-year history at HAT. He's on the line. Guest is on the line. And I say one of our most important shows because the message that you're going to hear over the next half an hour, 20 minutes is going to be so powerful that, and so real, that it will really put you in a different space. And I like you all to be in different spaces at different times, but this is really, really significant. But before I get into this any further, I'd like to invite my co-host today, the managing editor for the New Observer newspaper, you see a lot of articles in the paper by her. She used to hear her voice with me on the radio in the earlier startup times of HAT. And she's been very helpful to us at Dr. Wyatt's University Herbs and the Delaware Valley Naturopathic Medical Association along the way. Some of you know her as Helen Blue, but we know her as Samaya Shakur. Hey, Samaya.
Hi, Dr. Wyatt. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. I am looking forward to today's show.
So am I. I really am. Just wanted to just move because I can't wait till we get to...
Yeah, because time is tight.
Yeah, Swami
Krishnapad. Yes. Yeah.
And I wanted to just start to say, since he's just such a spiritual individual with such a spiritual message, he will take us into another place. And I just want to say he's the only African-American Swami in the world. He has disciples and devotees across the earth. Some of his biggest section of people that follow him are in places like Russia, Croatia, Nigeria, in South America, all parts of the globe. He's also located in Washington, D.C., and he has a beautiful, beautiful farm about an hour outside of Harrisburg. And he's been on your show before.
Yeah, we had him before and had an opportunity to speak with him and go out with him and Harry and Defenders and things. And this is a really touching show.
Touching, but it will be so uplifting because... Swami always is high energy,
mm-hmm.
but I had the privilege of interviewing him last weekend at the farm,
mm-hmm.
and he says that his energy is the highest that it's ever been, that he is in a place that he has never been before, that few of us will ever reach, and maybe we ought to introduce him now so we can let people understand just where he is and where he feels his mission is at this point. This is one of his final messages.
Well, one of the things I'd just like to say that he is an author. He's a specialist in international relations and conflict. His books are like everywhere. You know, his books are used as texts and reference books in several universities. Swami's books, of course, are made available in 12 different languages, you know, English, Russian, French, Spanish, Portuguese, Macedonian, Hebrew, and so forth, etc. He is a social reformer, an international teacher, mentor. just is so many accolades and things that I can give him, and I really feel honored to have met him. It's been a few years now.
Yeah.
And my blessings go forward to him as always. And if he is on the microphone, or if he's in with listening,
Swami,
area my voice, I'd like to work with Swami.
I'm so excited to have a chance to spend some of my last weeks of my life on programs of the nature of yours that have had an interest in trying to offer things of higher consciousness from time to time.
Thank you, Swami. Good to hear your voice.
You know, I'm dealing now with terminal cancer, with melanoma.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've come back to America and here basically just spent my last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I think our audience might be interested in is because I'm an African high chief in Nigeria. It's one of the parts of the world where I've developed many farm projects, cottage industries, and free clinics, and I've been a consultant to many of the presidents in that part of the world. Now my, you know, concern is just how we all do our part to make a better world, because everything that each person does adds either to the degradation or to the upliftment, you know, of the planet. And as we focus more, like in South Africa, we have the conception of the Mbutu conception, that we exist so much based on how we able to offer value to others and how we're able to center that around God. So I think it's a powerful kind of theme that at this time when there's such a toxic planet, a toxic institutions, toxic leadership, and toxic relationships, that we look at this and realize how much we all have power to make a difference.
Swami, and you certainly have made a difference in the past, and as you speak so openly about your terminal illness, I just want people to feel or convey the same kind of feeling I had when I saw you, that it's not about death, it's about life, it's about leaving from one door and going into another one, and your part in helping other people understand that this is just a transition.
Exactly, that's why, you know, even though, you know, I'm so deathly ill, I'm doing all these radio interviews, and I'll be doing something with Washington Post, something on the Oprah Show probably in a couple of weeks if I'm still around. Because my concern is that our life should be our message, and that especially we should realize that life is really to prepare for a glorious death. It doesn't matter how rich we are, how famous we are, how intelligent we are, or how beautiful we are, that we all have the final ultimate reward is that we have to leave these bodies. So the question is, what's the quality of our life, and when we leave, where do we go? And if we accept life after death or reincarnation, etc., then we understand that this life is like a school. And if we're able to live with dignity and integrity and righteousness and compassion and transcendence, then death is just a graduation. You know, not something for us to be fearful of.
You know, it's interesting too, Swami, that you say this, because a lot of people, when they are faced with death, they run afraid. You know, they don't realize the importance of that transition and doing things right while they're here at this juncture.
You know, yes, probably most of our readers are kind of connected with the Judeo-Christian conception.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were all brought up in that mood of hearing that it's not flesh and blood that goes to the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then what does, you know, is the soul. If you look at the ancient Kemet teachings, we look at ancient Vedic teachings, if we go back to any of the ancient cultures, we find that there's such rich knowledge about transcendence and life after death. And then as people also have higher consciousness, able even in this existence to have a contact with entities in other realms, angels, archangels, and genies, and Gandharvas, and Vijayaharas, so many higher beings that are in their own existence, their own realm, that as our consciousness expands, we can not just have to wait till we die to be in touch with them, but get their blessings and influences now.
How are people dealing with what you're saying? Are you, as you go around and continue to speak, and I hear you say, like, it's on a day-to-day basis with you, week-to-week basis with you.
Yes, because I'm already there. In other words, I'm on brow time.
Mm-hmm.
And my situation is so delicate. It's like I've been given almost a mission to decide, you know, when to leave this body.
Mm-hmm.
And so my last weeks or maybe even month is to try to make as much national now influence. I've already made so much international influence. I'm much more of an international person than a national person. Somehow, I'm one of those prophets who didn't fully get known in his own, you know, city, own city village. Although, you know, a lot of people know me from the East Coast of North America, of course. But the thing is that when we're in this kind of state, we do become even wiser, and people also often listen a little closer to us because they realize that we don't have anything, you know, to lose, or we don't have any reason to, you know, to posture. And when you love people, you want to offer them the best you have. And when you're dealing with those, you know, critical times, you try to look at how to prioritize, and you think, how can I best offer service, you know, to the community?
What about, Swami, I see a lot of people that are faced with this challenge that have been inundated with medication and all these other kind of things, and or either have gotten a diagnosis that you're getting ready to go if you don't do such and such or don't take care of this or that. And they become very fearful to the point where they stop eating, they stop talking, they just basically shut down. What kind of advice can you give these people or people that are in this state that will help them pull through? Or, you know, experience some of the strength that you are, of course, giving us.
I mean, I think it is true that we do have to understand that when our time is to go, we're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we have a right to recognize that our body belongs to God, so we have to give it the best care that we can. Like in my case, you know, I had some of my students who are doctors from all over the world, you know, researching and sending in protocols, and I even traveled to different places around the world, you know, for treatment. But to be honest, nothing really worked.
Mm-hmm.
And but because, in essence, my illness was brought upon by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just speak very briefly why I'm dying now. Is that after all these years and years of doing round-the-world trips and meeting with so many leaders and giving so many seminars and workshops in all kind of communities, business community, interfaith communities, cultural communities, I just saw, beloved, that so many people were suffering so intensely. So at one point, I felt, I'm 55 years old, I have a really successful life. I graduated from Princeton, and one of the first Vaishnav African American guru in the world, and have a year of leaders, celebrities, and presidents, and diplomats all over the world. I have students all over the world, you know, in every race. So I felt that I wanted to make a deeper impact by understanding suffering more, but most important, that I wanted to kind of be used as a sponge. That I wanted to absorb a certain amount of karma, negative karma, that's influencing or stagnating many people, especially pious people, who are on their own spiritual journey. So I pray to the Lord to allow me to go to experience whatever could help me become pure and would allow me to have a greater impact, to be able to absorb some of the stagnations or blocks that people on the spiritual journey were having internationally that I was interacting with them for the future. And so a little after that, then, believe it, I came down with very advanced melanoma, a form of cancer. I came down with, you know, with diabetes, with arthritis, with prostate problems, bladder problems, and it goes on and on, fractured collarbone, I mean, so many things. But, you know, my body, you know, I've had an amputated leg. So although my body is a wreck, you know, I've lost almost half of my weight, but my energy is strong because I'm relying on the soul, the spiritual influence.
So you did have medical treatments where it was appropriate.
Yes. In other words, I had the best allopathic treatments. I had the best complementary treatments. I went to some of the best alternative centers in the world. I did treatments from 8 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, but mainly just to slow down some of the progression of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
My time was over. Mm-hmm. You know, the kind of prayer I made and what I was going to absorb meant that this body was not going to be able to take it, and the soul was going to leave.
But
but my point is that we should realize that God can help through different kinds of modalities. And so if we want to go the Western path, if we want to go the more holistic alternative, if we want to go to more acupuncture, homeopathic, if we want to go to herbs, the thing is, do what can work and get the body together if you're going to survive. And the most important thing is not so much how you get the body together, but you got it together and what works for you.
You know, what's really interesting, and I'm listening to you say that, and one thing I realize, especially when people are doing a variety of treatments and therapies and still the progression of a particular imbalance still continues, it's one thing for certain, and as they say, two things for sure, when it's time for us to go,
right,
it's already imprinted, and then it's time, and what we have to do is acknowledge that and make the best out of whatever moments we have.
It's about life,
you know, on this planet, and to really make sure that we've lived a full life.
You're not like dying, but living until it's time for your body, for you to leave your body.
Yes, living to die, or wait a minute, you know.
Living to live.
Yeah, living to live.
or dying to live.
Yeah.
I have one of my books, as you said, I've written several books, I have 17 books. Actually, 15 different languages.
Mm-hmm.
One of our books is coming out in 2 weeks. It's called Die Before Dying.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at so many ideas and issues that people have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is simple. A week back, I just have to tell my caretakers, you know, stop offering any kind of modalities now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we were ordering machines from all over the world and all kinds of things. And I told them, look, I'm on my way out. I want you to use all this thousands of dollars that's coming in from students and funds and from all over the world. I just said, now you just keep that and make an endowment where that it can be set up in such a way that people who do not perhaps have insurance, have some critical illness, that we can give them, you know, thousands of dollars of grants.
Right.
I said, so we want to set up a board now that can oversee this and send out the message and let it be known. I said, because, you know, you're now feeding me, you're feeding my body, that's, you know, a dying shell. And if we can use that, again, to help represent the way that I live, my concern for others, then this is more important.
Swami, yes, before, I know our time is just moving so quickly and we're just so absorbed in this, but where can people get your books? Is there some place where we can advise the listeners to go or call so they can
get your book or have a website or some information you can give us?
Yes, this way people can get the books that I've written, the audio ministry, found out about my TV programs I have here in Washington every once a week,
mm-hmm.
and can just find out more about, you know, the ministry that I did around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So they can try these two websites, www.ifast.net. Let me give that again. www.ifast, like fasting,
uh-huh.
ifast.net. And the other website is www.btswami.com. www.b as in boy, t as in Tuesday, swami, swami, .com. Okay, so this way it'll be very accessible for people to get in touch with my ministry.
Now, I just wanted to say, listeners that are really tuning into this very, very, very significant program, I hope that you all are getting the deeper message, because this is something that we're all going to have to face. And it's really how you handle it,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and how you handle your life, because one thing is promised to us, we're definitely going to go through this transition here.
Right, and if we want to make sure we're ready so that we can have a smooth transition and that we can happily be on this level as long as we're supposed to be here, and accept that when we have to leave the body, we have to go.
And be brave enough, like Swami, to say, okay, there's enough modalities, there's enough therapy. It takes a lot of courage to recognize certain things that are happening in your body and to acknowledge those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when people around you that are helping you and doing so many things, because I see people that accept help to the point where the people around them are challenged and they get weak, you know, and they know deep down inside that, you know, time is near. You know, but you're very, very, very brave, Swami.
No, I'm just being natural.
Yeah, I just love the way he addresses he still gives classes.
Yeah.
I attended one last week, and, you know, there were so many people gathered around him, and it was just an open part of the conversation. We were accepting this together, and so we're enjoying Swami's last times with us on this level. But he'll always be with us.
You know, if we reflect back, this is so much how our ancient ancestors were. They so much were giving their lives and sort of dying on the battlefield. Had so much reverence for God and you know, appreciation of the mystique, you know, the mysteries of life. And they realized that one of the greatest mysteries was that life was in school. You know,
that's
that
powerful.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is.
I mean, maybe because the time is up, I guess maybe I can offer one or two closing messages.
Sure.
Okay.
Because my concern is, again, how much we're individually empowered and take responsibility. We really can't be good leaders if we're not good followers. We can't build good teams unless we're, you know, ourselves a good team player. We can't sufficiently teach or our kids and discipline if we're not self-discipline ourselves. And now in these days when there's so much difficulty in partnership, we can't have a happy marriage if we're not a good partner. We can't have strong communities, you know, if we're not a good neighbor or a good player ourselves. So in general, but kind of the essence of the message is that we have to be the change within ourselves that we want to see within the world. And as we see what needs to be fixed and changed within our own lives, and from there, we change the family, because the family is a microcosm of the tribe. And we change the family, we change the community, and we change the planet. But it all starts with ourselves, especially with a God-centered focus and the blessing, you know, from my elders.
I want to thank you so much for sharing and spending some time with us, Swami. This means really, personally, it's the world to me.
Yeah.
That you even would have the time to have this conversation with us on Saturday.
But you know, there's some listeners who are hearing this, and despite the nature of what we discuss, it will help to improve the quality of their life, or will help them in refocusing to be able to do what they can do, you know, to be a better husband, to be a better wife, to be a better parent, and to be a better leader. And this way, all of our lives have as much value if we're able to touch the life of someone else. You know, we want to watch our thoughts, especially because our thoughts produce our words, and our words, we watch them because they produce certain actions.
Right.
And certain actions produce particular habits, and our habits produce a particular character, and our character produces our culture. So we want to be cultural people that have really wonderful character, and it all has to do with the quality of our thoughts.
That's a wonderful message here.
Thank you very much, Swami.
Swami, it's been my privilege to talk to you again. Thank you so much.
I thank you both very much for giving me this opportunity.
Yeah.
It makes my last days of leaving this planet more of value. And I send my love, you know, to your audience. And,
thank you.
And they can visit my website if they like.
Thanks a lot, Swami.
Okay, peace and love. God bless you all.
Take care.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
What a privilege.
Yes.
What a privilege.
Very fortunate to have had Swami Krishnaprada. Whoo!
Tell you.
Talk to us. But his website, www.if.net, and www.b as in boy, t as in tom, swami.com, for your information. I'd like to remind all of you, this Monday is our third Monday of the month meeting, and we will have a powerful message. And not only that, generally when we have our Monday night meeting, you know, sometimes it gets a little crowded in there, but we have remedied that situation. And we are going to have our closed circuit TV, so those of you who can't get up the steps as you have in the past to our classroom, we will have seating downstairs and upstairs as well so that you can enjoy the message. And we have a very powerful message to give you. Also tomorrow, Sunday, at Dr. Wise University Herb Stores, our box flower class taught from 9 to 12 will be taught by Dr. Dewey Thomas. Our class on herbology will be taught by myself from 12 to 5. That is tomorrow. The number there is 215-222-2110 if you are interested. The meeting on Monday will start at 7 o'clock. You don't want to miss that meeting. It's going to be very, very powerful. We're going to talk about a number of things, a few products, the Mangosteen. We're going to get into detail about that. And we're going to touch on a movie that was out once a while ago, and it was in the theaters, and it was out the theaters very quickly. And I just want to bring it to your attention because it was very, very significant. It was called What the Bleep Do We Know?
Right. I didn't see it, but I heard people traveled miles and miles.
I went to Doylestown and said, but we're going to talk about this. And we may even have a couple clips from that movie, but this is a movie of awareness that, of course, came in the theater, went right out the theater, and a lot of you had no clue of, and some of you who saw it didn't have a chance to understand it, because if you looked at it once, you probably missed it.
Is it coming back?
Well, we're going to have, we may be able to get it available on Monday.
Oh, wonderful.
Amongst a few other things, but this Monday's meeting will be very significant, very powerful, and our classes, of course, are still ongoing. Our Body Works class is coming up the second week in May, which is a part of our certification program, our fourth in the series, and of course our practicum will be coming up after that. And our series again will start again in September, and I want to thank all of you who support and support what we're doing, the Delaware Valley Naturopathic Medical Association, and the graduates who have graduated from our previous series of class who are just doing a knockdown job. I am
yes,
so proud of you all.
They just are a real testament to the kind of program that you have at Dr. Wyatt's University Herbs, which is more than an herb store.
You
promised
right.
5 years ago it would be more than
that.
An herb store. It's a center, a healing center, and a learning center, and it is developing very nicely.
Yeah.
And as you just celebrated your fifth anniversary, it's just a testament to what the world of healing, the cutting edge, where things are going.
Yeah, and just to add to that, as we leave out of here, I will be in New Mexico, God willing, next week. I'll be leaving town, so please come out to the meeting. And get the information. You know, tomorrow's not promised to any of us. You know,
right.
While I have breath, I like to give you all a message. I don't know, I could be on a plane and something could happen to the plane, God forbid, but, you know, at least come out.
Right.
And hear what's happening. I'm going to bring some information back if God allows me to come back. And I thank you all. Swami, I want to thank you again and again and again and again. And we'll all meet on the other side.
Yes, we will.
You know, you can count on that.
And thank you, Dr. White, for letting me sit in today.
Yeah, good to have you, Swami.
Wonderful, wonderful interview with Swami.
Yeah. Historical interview
with Swami.
Yeah. Thank you all, listeners, and to my staff, and all the people who support us in the Delaware Valley Naturopathic Medical Association, friends, family, everybody, my VP who is out there kicking it out for us and keeping it going. I wish you all much peace and many, many blessings.